All right. Okay, as you take your seats, I know some of you just came in on the late bus. Welcome in. We're so glad that you're here. Last night, we began our conversation for this weekend around the idea of the fact that the God of the universe loves us so much, and he is making all things new. He's turning back. He's turning around. He is remaking. He is renewing. He is restoring all the hurt, the pain, the shame, the difficulties, and the challenges that we endure in our lives. And hopefully, if you were here, man, you got a chance to just think about the joy of this future glory in heaven, which is this earth and this heaven made new. So that's what we focused on last night. And this morning, it's going to feel like a sharp right turn, but I think that it is very important to consider our present pain and how we view it in light of eternity, in light of the fact that God is making all things new. So to set up where we're going this morning, June 2017 was one of the most difficult times for this student ministry, Watermark, and for a lot of the students that were a part of this student ministry and still are. It was a normal Monday, just like, you know, any other Monday where we were going to have bagels and Bible, where we would gather on the fourth floor and spend time in God's Word. And there was a kid who was there, and his name is Austin, Austin Silva. And he was there that morning. He spent time in God's Word. He journaled. And he left, and he was going to get his wisdom teeth taken out. And I remember, as clear as day, like giving him a hug, because he was going to this doctor's appointment to take out his wisdom teeth, and some of us were going to lunch. And while we were at lunch, we got this call that something went terribly wrong. And that Austin was in the middle of his, taking out his wisdom teeth, and he had this allergic reaction to the anesthesia, and he wasn't waking up. This junior in high school. And so immediately we all go to the hospital and we start praying for him that day, and his family's there, and his parents and their community group, and dozens upon dozens of his friends, you guys, people that you might even know. He went to Lake Highlands High School. And we gathered in that hospital morning and noon and night, and we prayed and we prayed and we cried out to God and we asked him to move. And after 10 days of us praying and asking God to make this situation new where he wasn't waking up from this anesthesia, Austin went home to be with the Lord. And it was one of the most difficult and painful moments for me as a youth pastor, but also obviously everyone in our ministry, to know that this young man who loved God, who was well-known and well-loved in this ministry at his school, he was influential for Christ. His family loved him, and he was excited to continue to excel and walk with Jesus in his senior year, and his life was cut short. And it was painful, and it was difficult, and, there's still people who are recovering and healing and grieving from that very difficult moment in time. I think there's a photo of some of the students that were there in the hospital in 2017 as we all gathered together to pray over the course of those 10 days for Austin and for his life. And I know for a fact that Austin knew God, that he had placed his faith and trust in Jesus, that he's in heaven right now. And maybe in some fun way, God is allowing him to see this moment and see all of you guys and hear what we're going to talk about from God's Word. And the reason I start with that story is because over the course of that week, those 10 days, we prayed. We prayed that God would make things new. We prayed that God would heal. We prayed that God would revive him and restore him. Because there was something that was broken, his body, in that moment. And you might not be going through something as extreme necessarily as that, but I want to ask you a question. In your life right now, whether it be your family, your relationships, school, your health, whatever might be going on, what internal or external circumstance do you wish were made new in your life? What hardship, what challenge, what difficulty, whatever it might be, what circumstance do you wish were made new right now? Yes, in the future, in heaven, everything will for sure be completely made new. And we saw in Revelation 21 that God is in the process of making all things new. But that thing in your life, that circumstance, that challenge, that relationship, that difficulty, whatever it might be, what is it? What is it that you wish were made new, were restored right now? Hopefully all of you have something in your mind that you're reflecting on, because we're going to spend the morning answering this question or walking through how you and I can walk through the pain of today in light of eternity, in light of the fact that God is making all things new. How do we view our pain? How do we process our pain? How do we get and experience all that God has in store for us in the midst of difficult circumstances? If you have your Bible, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4, we're going to read a story that you've probably heard before, and I want you to think about it from the vantage point of the disciples, and think about what's going to happen as that experience or that thing that you're thinking about that you wish were made new. Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Verse 35 says, "On that day, when evening had come, he said to them," Jesus said, "let us go across to the other side." So Jesus is talking to his disciples. They're on one side of the Sea of Galilee, and he says, "Hey, let's go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd, verse 36, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were beating into the boat so that the boat was already filling. And so imagine for yourselves this scenario where the disciples are going across this lake, the Sea of Galilee, and there's a significant storm that's rocking their boat back and forth. There's water filling it. They're nervous that they're about to sink. These well-trained fishermen, some of them were scared for their lives. And in that moment, they wished that something was made new, that they weren't in danger, that their lives weren't at risk. They wanted this situation to be made new. Maybe you can relate to that experience because you have something in your life right now that you wish were made new. Verse 38, "But he," Jesus, "was in the stern, asleep on the cushion." Some versions or some translations say he was asleep on a pillow, which gives you the imagery that Jesus was chilling, you know, taking a nap. "And the disciples woke him and they said, 'Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? Do you not care that I'm experiencing this hardship, this challenge, this brokenness, this illness, this difficulty in my family, in my relationships? Do you not care that we are perishing?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, 'Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?' And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, 'Who then is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?'" So for the rest of our time, we're going to look at that story a little bit and share with you six helpful reminders that I hope and pray will help you in the midst of your pain, your current pain, something that you wish were made new in your life right now. using this story or using this idea of the disciples on a journey and experiencing this difficulty and hardship and Jesus being there and Jesus speaking peace into existence. So six helpful reminders for you, for me, when we go through challenging circumstances in our life. Number one, the first helpful reminder is this. Pain wasn't a part of God's original plan. And it's not a part of his future plan like we talked about last night, right? All things will be made new and there'll be no more pain one day. So pain wasn't a part of God's original plan and it's not a part of his future plan. But in the broken world that we live in right now, that's filled with broken people, all of us, pain persists. Okay? Pain wasn't a part of God's original plan. It's not a part of his future plan, but it is a reality that you and I experience right now. And it's just helpful to even understand and realize that. It's easy to think of yourself and think of the difficulties that you might be enduring right now and think, man, I'm the only one. Why is this happening to me? Everyone else, based on their Instagram, their TikTok, their Snapchat, their friend groups, they seem to have the perfect family, the perfect life, the perfect grades. Everything seems to be working out great for them. What about me? And that's just not the case. Every one of us have something, some challenge, some difficulty that we wish were made new. And the reality is that God grieves with you in the midst of your pain. God grieves with you in the midst of your pain. Whatever it is, God sees it, he knows about it, and he cares about you. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go through these helpful reminders. So pain wasn't a part of God's original plan, and it's not a part of his future plan, but it is a reality in our current existence. Number two, the second helpful reminder for you in the midst of pain is this, that God knew about your pain before you did. God knew about your pain before you did. So think about this. Jesus is, he's doing ministry with the disciples on one side of the Sea of Galilee, and he says, let's go over to the other side. Question, did Jesus know that this storm was going to happen? Yes or no? Yeah. Shake your head yes. He definitely knew. Okay? So Jesus knew that this storm was going to happen, but yet he said, let's go over to the other side. And so he knew what they're about to walk into. And in the same way, God knows what you are in the midst of, and he knows what you have experienced maybe in the past, and he knows what you will experience in a week, in a couple of months, in 10 years. God knows about your pain before you do. Nothing happens in your life without a sovereign, holy, and all-knowing God knowing it. It does not take him by surprise. And I think that it's interesting that in the midst of taking them across the sea and the storm is happening, that Jesus is asleep. Now, why could he sleep? Like, it doesn't even make sense. If you were on a boat and there was a significant storm where the water was getting into the boat and the boat was rocking back and forth, do you think you'd be able to sleep pretty well? Probably not. But Jesus was asleep. Why was he asleep? How could he sleep? Jesus was asleep. Jesus could sleep and rest because he actually believed that God was in control. He actually believed that God knew that this storm was going to be an experience that they had before they experienced it. He had this mental belief. God's in control. God knew about this way before I ever experienced it. And that is so helpful for you and me to think about when we're going through our own challenges and difficulties in our lives. That God knew about it way before you did. And he's actually in control. Jesus could sleep in calm assurance because he knew that his Father was in control. That's a helpful reality and reminder to have in the midst of pain. God knew about your pain before you did. Number three, the third helpful reminder in the midst of pain for you is this. Pain isn't God's punishment. Pain isn't God's punishment. In fact, I want you to say it with me. I think this one is so hard to understand. So, on the count of three, I want you to say that sentence. Ready? One, two, three. Pain isn't God's punishment. Let's go. Because you know why? When we experience something difficult or challenging in our lives, what's one of our natural responses? What did I do? What did I do to deserve this? Is God mad at me? Where did I go wrong? That's easily where our hearts and our minds go, especially as students who are Christians or grew up in a Christian home or have a Christian ethic, maybe even if you aren't a follower of Jesus. It's easy to think, because this bad thing happened, I must have done something bad. And it's just not true. Pain is a part of the broken world that we live in, right? It's not a part of God's original plan or his final plan, but it is something that happens in the in-between. Just this last year, in the last several months, I've had two really significant, painful experiences. One actually physically painful. In April, I was going to a birthday dinner on a Sunday evening, and so I had dinner with my son and my wife, and then I left to drive to this party. And I'm on 75, I'm going south, and this truck in front of me in the far right lane on 75 just swerves all the way across from the right side to the left side, just swerves and smashes into the wall on the left side of the highway. And all of us cars that were going 70 miles an hour right behind this car are now trying to brake, trying to get out of the way, trying to not crash into each other. And so I swerve all the way to the right, and I go into the wall, the barrier on the right side of 75, and I smash right into the wall. I think I have a picture of my car. Yes, there we go. That's me. My car, the faithful Honda Civic that I had, RIP. It's no longer. But I remember that moment. Like, imagine with me, like, going 50 or 60 miles an hour, and I'm, like, headed towards this wall. And in that moment, just thinking, I have no idea what's about to happen. If I'm going to be hurt really significantly, or if these are my last seconds here on earth. So, smashed into the wall, airbags deploy, all of this. And I'm like, I gotta get out of this car because I don't know, you know, if it's gonna light on fire or whatever. So I'm looking around. My glasses, you know, are in the back seat. My phone, I don't know where it is. And so I get out of the car and I'm running away just to be safe. And the only thing that happened to me was I got a burn on my arm, and my shoulder really, really hurt. It still kind of hurts. I need to go to physical therapy. But anyways, it was a significant, painful experience. Another one was I was at Camp Barnabas, and my wife was trying to call me on one of the mornings while we were at camp, but I didn't have great signal. And then later on, I got in touch with her, and she told me the story of how our son was having trouble breathing, like significant trouble breathing through the night. And she had called the nurse's line, and they listened to how he was breathing, and they're like, you need to call 911 right now. And so she's trying to figure this out, trying to make sure that he's okay. She calls 911. They come over to the house. They check on him. He's okay. At least she thinks. And so they leave, and he's still having trouble breathing, and on and on. I wasn't there, and I couldn't do anything, and our son was really, really sick. He's fine. He's okay. He just had croup, if you've ever heard of that before. But I tell you those two stories to illustrate the point that those things were just natural occurrences of life. It wasn't because I had done something bad that allowed or caused God to be like, okay, you did those bad things. Here's some bad things that happened in your life. It's just not true. and that we all experience pain in some way because our world is broken. And because the promise of the future is that all things will be made new and there will be no more pain, but there is pain right now. One side note is that sometimes, though, our own choices, our sins specifically, our rebellion against God in the way that we choose to live and order our lives leads to consequences in our lives that are painful, okay? So that's an important distinction. On the one hand, pain is not God's punishment. It's a product of a broken world, right? But on the other hand, you can add pain to your life when you choose to live your life your way with you as your God, with your pleasure as your ultimate goal, and bring pain and difficulty and challenge into your life. So there's an important distinction there that maybe you need to think about as you reflect on, even now, the challenges that you're experiencing. So pain isn't God's punishment, but here's what it is. I'm going to give you, let's see how many I have here. One, two, three, four. Four reasons or ways that God allows pain in our lives. And I like the example or the analogy of planting a tree or a plant or grass at your house, or whatever it might be. How many of you guys are like green thumb gardening people? You like taking care of grass or trees or plants or flowers? We got a few of you in the room. Didn't think there would be that many. I'm not one either, and neither is my wife. She got a bunch of flowers and plants, and she was like, I'm going to start this amazing garden, and she had them in these beautiful pots, and for the first couple days, she took care of them, and then the heat of the summer took over and killed them. We just got some new plants, so hopefully these ones will survive. But I like the analogy, think with me, of planting a fruit tree, a flower bed, or whatever it might be. There are some things that a helpful and professional gardener does that help that plant or that tree or those flowers to thrive. And just in the same way, God is a gardener in a sense. And we are the trees, the branches that he's taking care of. And he allows pain for a few things. God allows pain to plant us. And what I mean by that is when we experience pain, when we experience the difficulties that in our lives, God allows them to clarify what we believe, to give us perspective. So God allows pain to clarify our beliefs. He gives us a chance to be rooted. Like in that story, as I was about to crash into the wall on 75, I had multiple just thoughts of, God, I know that I've placed my faith in you, and I know that you'll take care of my family, whatever happens. In that split second, by God's grace, that's what I was thinking about. And I was at peace with what was going to happen next. And so maybe that was what God, part of why God allowed that painful experience to happen, to remind me, to clarify for me what I believe. So God allows pain to plant us, to root us in what's true. God allows pain, secondly, to prune us. Like when someone is taking care of a tree or a plant, sometimes you need to cut off some of the edges, the dead leaves, to set it up for success, for it to continue to grow. And so God sometimes prunes away bad habits or unhealthy beliefs that we might have. He uses painful experiences so that we can believe differently, so that we can live differently and be more like him. God allows pain to protect us. Maybe he keeps you from something. Maybe he says no to a relationship that you really want, an opportunity that you really want, because he knows that if you got it, if you experienced it, that you would, in your sin and rebellion against him, choose that or make that an idol in your life. And so he brings a painful no to protect you. So God allows pain to plant us, to prune us, to protect us, even from ourselves. And number four, God allows pain to purify us, to root out our self-reliance, to root out our sin. So God's pain isn't punishment. pain isn't God's punishment, but God allows pain to plant us, to prune us, to protect us, and to purify us. And I read this quote by this woman named Elizabeth Elliot, who was the wife of a missionary named Jim Elliot, and it's an incredible story that you should read. If you've never read the book, Through Gates of Splendor, it's an incredible story of suffering and pain and understanding why God allows pain and how we can process through it. But she has this quote in another one of her books, and it's this: the secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. The secret is Christ in me, not me in a different set of circumstances. In other words, it's not necessarily, God, please take away this pain. God, remove it from my life. God, make everything new right now. Take this away. It's not the removal of the painful experience, but it's the focus on the fact that Jesus is there with you. Right now, in your life, whatever you're going through, Jesus is in the boat. And it might be rocky, and the waters might be flooding in, but Jesus is there with you. And so in light of that fact, number four, here's a fourth helpful reminder in the midst of pain. God cares about you in the midst of your pain. Where do I get that idea from? From God's word. Write down 1 Peter 5:7. That's a verse that says, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. That's 1 Peter 5:7. Another verse is Isaiah 41:10. Which says this: fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Whatever you're going through, whatever you're in the midst of, God cares about it. And it grieves him that you're having to experience pain that was never a part of his original plan. And that's just an important truth to believe, to rest in. And maybe you don't believe it. And this is an invitation to consider that. Do I believe that God actually cares about me with what I'm going through? The fifth helpful reminder in the midst of pain is that God welcomes your fear, your frustration, and your fear. God welcomes your frustration and your fear. In the book of Psalms, there's a psalm, Psalm 13, and the writer of that psalm, like, comes to God, and he's like, God, what are you doing? Why are you allowing these circumstances to happen in my life? Psalm 13, let me read really quickly for you, verses 1 and 2. The writer says, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? God, what's going on? This has been going on for too long. This is too painful. This is too difficult. This is too challenging. And it doesn't seem like you care. And I'm frustrated and I'm afraid. God, where are you? God welcomes your frustration and fear. How do I know that? Because it's in the Bible. This writer, God allowed, divinely allowed the Holy Spirit to speak through the writer of this psalm, and he made sure that it was in his word to show you that God doesn't want you to tie a bow on every circumstance and be like, oh, I see the bigger purpose or the bigger meaning. Like, God is like, if you're mad, you can come to me and say, God, I'm mad. I'm discouraged. I'm sad. I wish that this were not true. He welcomes your frustration and he welcomes your fear and he meets you with his care. And so the final piece of helpful advice for you in the midst of pain is that God will take care of you. God will take care of you. In this story I told at the beginning of Austin Silva, he journaled in his Bible, in his journal that morning at Bagels and Bible. And the last thing he wrote in that journal entry was, God will take care of me. He had no idea what was about to happen, right? But he had just spent time with God. Spend time reflecting on God's word and his truth. And he wrote those final words. that still have power and meaning and hope for you today, even if you don't know who he is. This Austin kid, he believed that God will take care of you no matter what. And it is true. God will take care of you. So Jesus could sleep on that boat because he had the blessed assurance, the confidence that his Father would do the caring, that his Father was attentive to his needs and the pain that he was enduring. So here's how we're going to wrap up. I want to ask you, you can write these down, but don't worry, you'll have a handout on the way out in the atrium out there that you'll take with you for your small group time. I'll give you a little more instruction in just a second. But we're going to spend some of our time this morning in our reflection and small group time processing pain. Now, some of you, you might be going, my life is good right now. There's nothing really that's difficult. And to you, I go, praise God that that's the way you feel. But there's going to come a time, maybe sooner than you know it, where there's something difficult that you're going to experience. And I hope to equip you and resource you with this way of processing pain to help you through it. Or you might be experiencing something painful right now. And this process will help you to walk through that. Okay, so it's four things that I'm going to invite you to do individually after we dismiss and then with your small group. And it spells out the acronym PAIN, P-A-I-N. The first thing is to point out the problem. Revisiting that question that we talked about at the beginning. What circumstance in your life do you wish were made new right now? Point out that problem. Write it down. Journal it. Bring it to God. Scream. Cry. Be frustrated. Let him know this problem that you're experiencing and what you'd like for him to do about it, which is A, ask God for help. Share honestly with him how you feel and what you'd like him to do. And then the I is to invite others in. Let others know where you're struggling, where the challenge might be, where you want something to be made new. And then the N is to never forget how the story ends. Never forget how the story ends. And so when you walk out of this room in just a moment after we worship God and remind ourselves of the hope of the future and of heaven, there'll be some sheets out there and a couple of tables on the left side and the right side. Make sure you grab one of those because it's going to be helpful for you during your small group time, okay? So at the top, it has those four points, walking through pain, how you process pain. And then at the bottom is an article or a journal entry by Elizabeth Elliot, who I referenced earlier. And basically, it's a helpful way for you to think about the future and the difficulties that you might endure. The title of the journal entry is Do Not Forecast Grief, as in don't be spending so much time wondering what might happen in the future that might be significantly painful in your life, but reflect and rest on the fact that God is in control. So when you leave here, I want to invite you to grab this and spend some time alone with God, pointing out the problem, asking him for help, and then gathering with your small group to invite others in and to remind yourselves of the end of the story, which is what we're about to do. And at the end of the story is this. No matter what you're going through right now, the pain that you're experiencing, it is only temporary. It will one day be no more. It will one day be made new. And in fact, God is in the midst of it, working all things out for his good and for your good and for his glory. And so I want to invite you to sing, maybe sing in faith. Maybe you don't believe it or feel it, and you just need to stand there or sit there and pray and listen as other students and leaders declare the truth of the reality of the future glory that we have awaiting us in heaven. Maybe that's what you need to do. Or maybe you're going through something so difficult that the most important thing you can do right now is to sing these songs, belting them out in a declaration of the hope that you have in God. Because he loves you, He sees you. He knows you. He's right there with you in the midst of whatever you might be going through. Let me pray that in the midst of your pain, that God would be and feel near. God, we love you. We're so grateful that your word doesn't leave us in the dark about how we're to process the pain and difficulty and challenges that we experience. And God, I know that in a room this size, with all these students, that there are hundreds upon hundreds of challenges in our lives that we wish were made new. God, I pray that you'd make them new. I pray that you'd make them new today. And I pray that in the midst of that process, these students would look to you. These students would seek hope and rest and joy in the fact that you love them so much and you see them and you care about them. I pray that as they sing, that those realities would be become more and more true in their hearts and in their lives. In Jesus' name.